And this morning we looked in Genesis chapter 45. I want to back up. Let's look in Genesis chapter number 22. Chapter 22. And you've studied your Bible and been in some Sunday school classes. And let me just say right here, if you hadn't, you ought to get there. Amen? If you hadn't. But anyway, if you have been, somewhere along the line you ran into this story through preaching or teaching or whatever, the story of Abraham and him offering his son, or God asking him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And we're gonna look at that just a little bit tonight. I know somewhere along the line I've preached on it before, but if you will, let's just look at it again this evening just for a few minutes. And if you will, look with me, and let's just begin reading in verse number 1. And it says this: "And it came to pass after these things." And if you want to know what those things are, you need to go back and read some previous chapters as Abraham has traveled and where God has led him and what God's done. But after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt sacrifice in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today, or to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you again for watching over us and loving us today and bringing us to this place again. Bless now this time. Just stir our hearts, and may we rejoice and be glad for all the things that you're showing us through your word. Just give us direction tonight. Give us wisdom. Help us this evening. And again, we'll just be careful and thank you and praise you for what you do. And we'll love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight just kind of on this thought, if you will, with me on how to face your mountain. How to face your mountain. And I want you to know we're all going to have some of these mountainous times in our lives. And, you know, when you read this, and as we began reading it there in verse number 1, it said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Now, I want you to understand, and I guess better know that little word tempt in the sense that it is used here. It is probably better understood by me and you as the word test. Yeah, this is a test. And, you know, you can kind of look at it this way. Abraham's been walking with God for, well, several chapters now. I think you can go back to chapter 15. You'll begin to see some of the things that are going on in Abraham's life. Abraham, you know, he's trying to listen to God. He's trying to follow God. And God has given him direction. And you know what? Every once in a while, whenever you're following somebody that's trying to teach something, every once in a while there's a test. Amen? Now, Brother Ronnie threatens us all the time in the Sunday school class. He said, this is going to be on the test, so y'all need to listen. So, you know, we try to do our best. But you know, every once in a while in life, there are some tests and there are some trials in our lives. I mean, that's just a part of it. And here, you know, God tells him, he said, I want you to go to this particular mountain. I want you to go to a place that's called Mount Moriah. That's where God wants him to go. And God gives him instruction, and God gives him a lot of instruction in what all he wants to see out of the life of Abraham. And, you know, it's no different with me and you. I believe you and I get tuned in real good on what the Holy Ghost is saying. Sometimes we'd understand the trials and the tests that come in our lives. Now, we're going to be like Abraham. We're not going to know everything about them. We might not understand, and you know, it's not ever really explicitly said here why God did this. I mean, as far as he said, now I know that you fear me and that you'll follow what I got to say. But Abraham didn't know any of this. He's just trying to listen and do what God said and trying to be faithful to the Lord. And he didn't know every step. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know how it was going to end up. But he had enough sense and he had enough faith to trust the Lord. Amen. And that's why we have these things, these mountains that come in our life. So let's look at the mountain that you see here in Abraham's life. And, you know, as I say, here he is. Abraham's had some pretty tough things, you know, that's happened in his life. First of all, he had to leave his homeland, his relatives, everybody behind when God said, come, I want to show you a place I'm going to give you. He had to do that. And then if you remember, there's another place where he had to make up his mind about whether he wanted to stay with his nephew Lot or they had to come to a partner of the ways. There's also a time in his life where Abraham had to make a decision about his son Ishmael that he dearly loved also. But God said, I want you to send him away. I want him to go, and I'm going to do something through him. And, you know, that whole situation is worrisome and burdensome. But Abraham, through every one of those tests, Abraham passes. So now God brings him to this place, and there's another test about to come. There's another test. Well, God, as I say, gives Abraham these instructions, and, you know, he's going to see how he does on the testing that comes from God. So, as I say, if you're going to face the mountain, there's some things you're going to have to do, and we're going to see how we're going to get through and actually face that thing. So, first of all, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice, as we look at this, first of all, whenever there is a mountain, there's got to be some preparation by me and you, just like there was Abraham. Get prepared for that mountain. I mean, there's some preparation to get ready for the mountain. Whenever you're going to do anything, you've got to get yourself prepared in a lot of ways. And most of it is a simplicity in getting prepared. Maybe just simply three things you've got to do. First of all, let me just say this. When you get prepared for anything, first thing you're going to have to do, and you'll see Abraham does, you've got to prepare your hands. You've got to prepare your hands. If you'll notice, there's some preparation that goes into this. The Bible says that God tells him, I want you to go take your son, go to a mountain, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell him. So it says in verse number 3 that Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men and Isaac his son. And listen, he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up and he went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham had to make some preparation. I mean, physically, preparations of his hand to do this. He had to get the animals together. He had to get his people together. He had to get the wood ready. He had to get, the Bible tells us later on, that he had a fire, that he had a knife, that he had the wood, that he had everything that he needed. Sometimes you got to get yourself prepared for what's ahead. Amen. And God said, look, sometimes you got to prepare. And he had to prepare his hands, first of all. But not only that, don't you notice, second of all, you see that Abraham had to prepare his head for what's ahead. I mean, to go on that mountain, you ain't just got to get yourself prepared, you know, physically and get all the implements and get all the stuff that you got to have for. You're going to have to get your head on straight. All right? As I said, God is here bringing this to him, and it's a testing time, and it's a trying time. But God is speaking to him, and he said, now, Abraham, here's what I want you to do. And I want you to notice, Abraham prepares that. You know what he does? In making that preparation, he simply makes up his mind to do what God says to do. Amen. That's the way you prepare your head. You get your head on straight, and you say, I'm going to do what God says to do. You see that? It says in verse number 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning. And then he made all of these physical preparations. I mean, he got up. You know what he said? My mind's made up and I'm going to listen to God. But what can I tell you today? You and I need to get our heads on straight. We need to get our minds made up. We need to get ourselves pointed and say, this is what God said do. And buddy, I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to do it. Amen. You ever see anybody in your Bible that is successful in what they do for God? You'll see that they've got their minds made up. The Bible tells us that Daniel, that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and the king's drink. And you know what he did? He followed through with that thinking, didn't he? When the chief of the eunuchs come by and said, hey, you're supposed to be eating this. He said, look, he said, you try us out for a while, me and my buddies here. We're going to stay with this pulse. We're going to eat vegetables. We're going to drink water. We're not going to defile ourselves with the king's meat and the king's drink. And you know what? After the time of testing, the Bible said, here's Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they fared better than those that had been eating the king's meat. Why is that? Because they wanted to maintain their integrity and their dependence upon God. And I'm just telling you, you got to make up your mind. It's not always what's popular. It's not always what the crowd's doing. It's not always what's on the billboard top 10 or whatever it is. Thank God it ain't up there just to be a follower of God. But I can tell you, if you want to make news in heaven, if you want to please God, then thank God that's what we ought to do. Amen? We ought to be listening to him. So here he is. He's prepared his hands and he's prepared his heart. And in preparing his head, He has said, look, there's no excuses. I mean, there's nothing, you know what? I'm just going to trust what God said to do. I'm just going to do that. I'm not making any excuses. You know what you and I do a lot of times? Oh, buddy, don't we make them excuses? Well, I would, but, you know, my little toenail on my left foot hurts. Woo, yeah. Hallelujah, y'all. Amen. Isn't that what we do? Well, I would, but I got to go do thus and so and this and that and the other and all that silly stuff, right? And that, I mean, listen, I don't know, some of y'all probably don't remember Brother Charles Thomas very well, but when he was around here, we'd meet sometimes and some things would go on and, you know, we might be disappointed in what happened. And Brother Charles always say, well, you know what? People are going to do whatever they want to do. And can I tell you, that's the absolute truth. Most people do what they intend, what they make up their minds to do. And if we just make our minds up, hey, I'm going to serve God. Well, preacher, they won't be many there at church. I don't care. I'm coming anyway. Amen. I told Lynn sometime when we come over here and I say, well, there's at least two here. Amen. Jesus said two or three gathered mine. I said, I believe there'll be a few more. Thank God we'll just praise him and worship him anyway. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, friend, you just got to make your mind up. You got to prepare your hands. You got to prepare your head. And then let me tell you this. I think more importantly, and probably most important, oh, Abraham had to prepare his heart. I mean, there's some heart preparation that's got to go on to get through this thing. Here he is. How is Abraham going to prepare his heart? Well, can I tell you, he started off in a real good way. And actually, I'll tell you this. God began to talk to him, and he began to talk to God. It said that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He heard God, and he answered back, and he had some communication with the Lord. You need to prepare your heart and talk to God, see what he's got to say. Get in that book, see what he's got to say to you. And brother, that'll help you in preparing your heart. Amen. You know, I can get my Bible, and my Bible will tell me that in the last day, perilous times will come. You know what that means? You got to prepare your heart for some troublesome days. I mean, the Bible tells us that this world's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. I'm not sitting around saying, well, preacher, you know what? I think things are going to get better. I think everything's just going to get rosy peachy keen. Maybe the next election will come up and so-and-so will get elected and everything will just be great. I'm not looking for it. Amen? I'm telling you, you better prepare your heart. And I know it almost sounds fatalistic, but man, you got to realize, hey, this book is still right. It's headed somewhere. This world is headed somewhere. Thank God those that are saved are headed somewhere. Amen? So you need to prepare your heart. And in that preparation, you got to be talking to God. You got to be willing to do what God says and not worry about what the world says, okay? Because that's where we get in. Our biggest problem, we worry about, well, what are they going to think? Well, it don't matter. I'll be real honest. I don't understand how Noah did it for 120 years, but somehow he endeavored to work for God and forget what everybody else was saying. Amen. And the Bible tells you, you go over in the book of Hebrews, and it talks about how that Enoch walked with God. And then one day God said, hey, won't you just come on up here at my house and forget that crowd down there? I'll take care of them. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, hey, you got to just make your mind. As far as I could tell, in the day that Enoch lived, it looked like he's the only one following God. I mean, he's the only one walking with God. And as a matter of fact, when Noah was around, what does it say? That the world was all in a mess and men's hearts were on evil continually and God repented that he made man. All of that's going on. But then all of a sudden the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Woo, ain't that good? How did that happen? I believe it's because he just made his mind up. He's going to follow God. He's going to follow God. All right. So first of all, there's some preparation you got to do for that mountain. Second of all, I want you to notice that God and Abraham talked about it and Abraham got into the mindset of some provision for the mountain. I mean, it takes some providing, some doing of some things. If you're going to conquer that mountain, if you're going to go up that mountain, it's going to take some. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing in this is just simply the faith that Abraham placed in God. I mean, Abraham just placed his faith in God, and God saw that faith that Abraham had. I mean, we know, you know, when Jesus is talking in the New Testament, he talks about Abraham. He talks about Abraham's faith. You know, one thing you really have to think about Abraham, now the Jews, especially in Jesus' time, they would always say, Abraham's our father, Abraham, blah, 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 blah. Let me just tell you something. Abraham lived on the other side, on the back side, of the Ten Commandments, of the law, of everything that Moses... Abraham's on the outside of that. Abraham didn't have anything to do with that. But yet my Bible tells me that Abraham was the beginner of those that followed God by faith. The Bible says that God saw Abraham's faith and God was pleased with Abraham. That Abraham walked by faith. Abraham was a man of faith. If you will, let's just say that Abraham was the father of our faith. Abraham was the man that was involved. So what's he known for? He's known for being faithful to God. Being faithful to God. And That's where that all boils down to. Now, I want you to notice Abraham in this provision for himself as he's going up that mountain is taking some faith, right? Listen to what he says. Verse number 4, it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. God showed him a place and he said, there it is. And on that third day, it was still a distance away from him. But I want you to notice what the Bible said. Verse number 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, listen, we'll go yonder and worship and come again to you. We're a going and we're a coming back. Well, preacher, you just said God talked. Yeah, I know. But Abraham had enough faith in God that he said, if we're going and God's who he says he is and does what he says, and Abraham realizes Isaac's his son, his only son, he said, if God said he's going to do through him, then he can take him, but he can bring him back to me too. Amen. You think Abraham didn't believe in the resurrection? I believe you can see right there. He said, if he's going to be dead, God's going to bring him back to life again. Amen. Amen. Paul writes over in the New Testament, and he says that. He said that Abraham and God talked about things that were not as if they were. He said, well, if I take my son up there and I slay him, he dies, he'll raise up again. And God said, you're right, because, hey, I'm God, and I can do whatever. And boy, he just believed God. Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen? So here he is putting his faith and his trust in God. So what's he got to do to get up this mountain? Well, first of all, by his faith, let me just say, he's got to do some trekking up that mountain by faith. Can I tell you, you're going to have to learn how to walk with God by faith. I mean, just walk with him. As I said earlier, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. He walked with God. How did Paul get through all the things that we're looking at on Wednesday night in the book of Acts? He just walked with God. I mean, there he was in danger of his life. God said, don't worry, I've got you. And old Paul say, woo, y'all, I'm okay, God's got me. I'm going to make it another mile home. Amen. Even though when it looked like they were going to stone him and kill him, when they lay in wait to kill him, when they had plots and plans against him, he just said, nope, I'm just trusting God. God's got me through every bit of it. I'm going to keep walking with him. So I'm just telling you, here's Abraham, and he's made up his mind by faith to continue that trek and to walk on with God. Not only by faith did he trek on with God. There you see it in verse number 6. It says, Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. He said, come on, son, we're walking this thing. We ain't stopping. We're not turning back. We're going on to where God said for us to go. Amen. He trekked on. He walked by faith. But not only that, you see that he just simply trusted God in his faith. By faith, he just simply trusted God. Look in verse number 7. It said, then Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. I mean, they kept on walking. And as walking, hey, I'll tell you, his faith was so strong that it's rubbing off on his son. He didn't say, I like the way this is looking. I don't know what's going on here. But no, he just kept on walking with his dad. And his dad kept on walking by faith. They kept on going. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes we got to walk by faith, by our trekking has got to be, but our trusting has got to be in God. And you've got to trust in God's ways more than you trust in your ways and the ways of this world. Can I tell you, this way doesn't make sense to me as far as what Abraham's about to do. It looks dangerous. It looks wrong. It looks like it's going to end bad. I mean, it don't look right, does it, as far as the eye test goes. But God's saying, trust me. Trust me, Abraham. Trust me. Every step it take, God's saying, just trust me. Keep on going. Trust me. And him and his son went up the mountain. It said they two went together. Abraham didn't stumble. Abraham didn't stop. Abraham didn't say, look, son, this is what, you know, it could be bad, and if you want to turn and run. No, they kept on going and going by the faith of God. So here they go. He had to trek. He did his trekking by faith. He did his trusting by faith. And then I want you to know, finally, he just had to do his turning everything over to God by faith. Notice what it says there, verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And can you imagine? I can't even get that. My mind won't even go there. But his did. Why? Because he trusted. He just turned everything. He said, God, I'm just turning it all over. I don't know. This don't look right. This is not what I had in mind. This is not how I thought it was going to go. But I'm just going to turn it all over to you, and you do what you want to with it. Amen? Hey, and he did. He just turned it all over to God. And God says, look, here we are on the mountain. Here you are. And I mean, he's gone so far as to bind his son, lay him on an altar of wood, and he's got a fire, he's got a knife. He's about to, you know, plunge that knife in, take his life, set him on fire, and be a burnt offering. He's about to do it. Woo, he's a stronger man than any one of us in this building, I guarantee you. Because you and me would be saying, huh, I don't like this. I don't think I can do it. I know I can't do it. I give up. God, I quit. But Abraham went right on down to the very point. I mean, the Bible said he stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. I mean, I believe he had her drawn back. I believe he was ready to go. And God, aren't you glad? He turned it all over to God. And I'm telling you, he said, this is what Abraham said. I want God's will more than anything that I know of. And if this is God's will, then here I go. But aren't you glad that, boy, in closing, look at this. There's some promises on that mountain. There's some promises that come on that mountain. I want you to look what it says in verse number 11. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Amen? Boy, God's got some promises. Aren't you glad God's got some promises? Abraham, he had, well, if this is what God's going to do, this is the way God's going to do it. I want you to understand this, man. When you see that, hey, he's looking, he's expecting, he's there on the mountain, he don't know what this is all about, but he's looking for God to allow and make the provision that's necessary. Aren't you glad that verse 13's in there? Woo, listen. And Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Amen. Can I tell you, here's the first promise that God met with him, that he made a provision by the lamb. Woo, can I tell you, he made a provision for me and you by the lamb too, didn't he? God provided a lamb for me and you as our offering substitute, as somebody that took my place. Thank God I deserved death. I was worthy of it. There was no way out, but Jesus came, shed his blood, and said, I'll pay his penalty. I'll pay his debt. I'll take on his sin. Woo, hallelujah, to the lamb forever. Amen. Boy, isn't that amazing? I mean, here is God's promise. You remember what Abraham had said? Abraham said earlier, his son said, well, here's the wood, here's the fire, here's all, where's the lamb? And he said, son, don't worry. God will provide himself a lamb. Boy, what a prophetic statement. I mean, even in their case, God did provide a ram. He provided a lamb. He provided a sacrifice that went in the stead of his son Isaac. There he was. And brother, God provided him. But aren't you glad that that foreshadows, as I said, thousands of years down the line when Jesus come in to this world. And old John looked over at him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. Woo, God had made that special provision. God provided himself a sacrifice in the stead of Abraham's beloved son. Aren't you glad that God gave his son? Hey, listen, it cost God the very best. It demanded heaven's highest honor. It demanded the best blood. It demanded something that was clean and pure. And Jesus met every one of those criteria. And brother, he saved us by his blood. Amen. But well, God made the provision. There's some promises up on this mountain. I'm glad that he could have looked at Abraham and said, "Son, I told you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm your God. You're my child. And I'm taking care of you." Amen. That's what he's telling him right then. Do you notice there's always some wording in your Bible, in the Old Testament particularly, and even some in the New Testament. But if you'll notice, anytime God uses somebody's name or a word of exclamation many times in a double sense, it has a double impacted meaning. It said, "The angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven, and he said, 'Abraham, Abraham.'" I mean, he said it to him twice. What does that mean? That means there's some emphasis put on what's about to be said here. It's an emphatic, so, "Abraham, Abraham, I want your attention," is what he's saying. Amen? I mean, that's what he's saying. There's a few other times throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, where a name's mentioned. Moses, when God's trying to get Moses' attention out in the desert, he mentions his name twice. Moses turns around, and he hears a voice and sees a fire burning that bush, and he don't know what's going on, but God's talking to him. Here the Lord is speaking to Abraham, and he said, "Can I have your attention, Abraham?" Abraham said, "Well, here I am." "Amen. Yeah, I'm listening. What you got to say?" And he said, "Don't lay your hand upon that lad. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me." So you see, God made a provision. Second of all, don't you notice God makes a proclamation right up here on this mountain. God makes a proclamation to him. He gives the laud and the praise toward Abraham for what he did. Look here in verse number 15 as we go on beyond where he went. It said, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said," listen to this, "by myself," this is God speaking, "by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and not withheld thine son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Amen. Boy, can I tell you, I'll just take some time out there and just shout a little bit. God made a proclamation about the faith of Abraham. Do you know what my Bible tells me? One of these days, when some of the saints of God walk into heaven, that the Lord's going to look at them and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He didn't say, "Thou rich servant, thou smart servant, thou highest grade in the class, thou best job in the world." No, "thou with the most money." No, God's going to say, "Faithful, faithful, faithful." Amen. Do you realize that's something that everybody in this room can do? You say, "Preacher, I didn't go very far in school." You can still be faithful. I don't have a bunch of letters behind my name and those doctorates and those letters and stuff. It don't matter. You can still be faithful. I ain't got a lot of money. You can still be faithful to God. "Well, I'm not the most well-known." It doesn't matter. You can still be faithful to God. Faithful. And that's what God is looking for And that's what God commends Abraham for. Abraham was a wealthy man. He had a lot of cattle and a lot of goods and, you know, a big community of servants and all that. And when what God said to him, he said, because you've heard me, because you listened, because you followed, because you've been faithful, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And I believe that's the same thing that God tells us today. Just be faithful. God makes a proclamation. And then you'll notice, as I read this in these further verses, God just magnifies the promise towards him. He said, in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Isn't that amazing? Any of y'all ever went down to the seashore and got very far on counting the grains of sand? You would wear yourself out and you'd never get it done. You couldn't even go to Panama City Beach and get started real good, could you? Amen? And you'd done missed a whole bunch of them all the way around the Gulf, all the way around the world. You couldn't do it. What does that mean? God said, I'm going to multiply your seed just like your people are going to be that multitudinous. There's going to be that many of them. But do you also see what else he says? Not just about the sands of the sea, but notice what he said. He said, I multiply thy seed as the stars in the heaven. I believe the sand of the sea is his earthly seed, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, if you will, the Jewish nation. I believe that's one thing. But I believe them that's the stars up in heaven. I believe that's a spiritual seed. Those that believe by faith. Can I tell you? Woo, they used to a long time ago. And I mean years ago, thousands of years ago. The astronomers would get out there and they'd say, well, we believe there's probably a thousand of stars in the sky. And then you know what happened? Pretty soon they got better equipment. They got better magnifying devices to look. And they said, you know what? We're wrong. It's not just thousands. It's hundreds of thousands. And then finally they came along and we got smart enough to send something out there in the space. And they come back and they said, hey, that Hubble telescope says there's millions of them out there. And the deeper they go, the more they get, the more they find, the more they understand, and they ain't got the half of it told yet. What does that mean? That means God's got people. You and I can't count them. Amen? Woo, as I told you, old John's standing there in the midst of Revelation chapter number 4, and he said, I've seen 10,000 times 10,000. That's a whole lot right there, right? 10,000 times 10,000. He said, and thousands of thousands. He said, it got so big. He said, my computer blowed up and wouldn't count no more. Amen. What were they doing? They're shouting and praising God and loving Jesus for what he'd done for them. Amen. I'm just telling you, Abraham, woo, listen, you've got to realize the importance and the impact of the faith of Abraham at this point. God said, just because of what you've done, I'll tell you I will bless thee. And you know what? I still believe that today. There's a lot of folks that don't understand that little phrase that comes to Moses later on where God says that to the people of Israel, you're my people. I will bless those that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And if you don't think we ain't living in that day, turn your TV on. Pick up a newspaper. Get a hold of a magazine somewhere, and you'll see there's multitudes that are cursing God's people. Can I tell you, I ain't one of them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to do everything I can to bless. The Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm going to do that because that's God's special spot on the place of this earth, on the face of this earth. That's God's special place. I'm just telling you, woo, that's him right there. That's him. That's all about him. And Abraham just simply said, you know what? I believe God. And I'm just going to follow. I'm just going to be faithful to him. And in that our difficulty many times is in our being faithful to him. Being faithful to him. I mean, Lord, help us just to be faithful to our Lord, which is in heaven. Can you be faithful to Him? If you want to face that mountain, you'll do it by having your faith in the God of the mountain. God said, there's a mountain over there to Abraham. And He said, I'm going to show you the mountain. I'm going to take you to the mountain. I'm going to take you up the mountain. And you know what, Abraham? He just followed Him. Sometimes we say, oh, God, if I could, I'd kind of like to skip that. I don't think I want to do that. I won't go through that. But God said, no, it'll help you if you will. You know why? Well, Peter tells us in Peter chapter number 1, he said, the trying of your faith, though it be tried in the fire, he said, it will come out, he says, shining like gold that doesn't fade away. It don't go. Boy, you try your faith, it'll come through on the other side. It'll just get purer and purer. All the dross will be taken out. How's your faith doing tonight? How's your faith? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of some song, if you will.